Friday, and welcome to the Beauty Files. I am Juanita. I am so glad you can join us today. I have a great show for you today. It's one of those kind of shows that you feel warm and fuzzy, and I was telling my first guest this, that, you know, when I first read some stuff out of his book, I felt warm and fuzzy, and I'm going to give everyone a chance here to learn the art of kissing. And a lot of people think that they are good kissers. You know, somebody may have told them, or somebody, or you may even thought to yourself that, yeah, I'm a good kisser, or in your own mind. Well, William Cain is going to give us some information about the art of kissing. He has a book that's an international bestseller, and you know, I guess we need to find out, are you really a good kisser? You know, the tongue, the French kiss, smooch versus peck versus, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, I got a lot of questions I have to give William. Later on in the program, we have Keisha Faison. She's with Pure Elegant Oils, and she is the creator, and she's very passionate about putting the natural back into her lotions and soaps and other beauty products. And we're going to find out some of her latest offerings just in time for Valentine's Day. And later in the program, we have Dr. Jeffrey Benabio. He is the physician director of Kaiser Permanente and author of the Derm Blog. He's going to give us, the men in the audience, and ladies, because I'm going to ask them some stuff about that, about skincare. And a lot of guys don't think that they need skincare, but Dr. Benabio is going to basically let you guys know that skincare needs to be a part of your regimen so you can stay cute and sexy for your significant other. So without further ado, William Cain, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thank you, Juanita. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so William, what is a good kiss? Because, you know, a lot of people think they know, and they really don't.
Yes, a good kiss is something that everybody wants to achieve. And having worked on this topic for many years, I've come to the conclusion that there are two components of a good kiss. One is that chemistry, or the interaction that you feel with the person. And I can't teach anybody that. That has to come from inside. And then the second component is technique. And that's where I have a lot of information, because you could feel great chemistry with someone, but if you don't have some technique, then your kiss is not going to be a terrific kiss. So you need both of those things, and your kisses will be very, very excellent.
So, William, are you a good kisser?
Well, I am a good kisser. I've been told I'm a good kisser. I've tried every kiss in the book, including the violent one from the South Pacific. You may have heard of it, the Trobriand Islands kiss, which involves biting the lower lip of your partner, and that is a very technically challenging kiss. But I worked on that. I worked, made some mistakes along the way, of course.
So you did the violent kiss, huh? No.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. You don't want to overdo it, just a little bit.
Well, you know, you brought up a good point, and I'm not going to call names, and this has been in my past, but there was a guy that I dated one time, and he kissed for the first time, and I don't know who or where this is taught, but the guy almost sucked my tongue out of my mouth. It was the worst kiss ever.
You can encounter kisses where the person's style will be wrong for you, and that's what happened in that particular case. Now, other people, that would be right for them, but sometimes you will have a mismatch of partners, and that can be really disappointing, and it's very challenging because it's very difficult to get somebody to change and to adapt. You know, you can try, but it can be a difficult thing. And the thing is, it's a mistake to tell them right in the middle of the kiss, because that can really be an insult. It's better to tell them when you're not kissing and try to suggest to them, you know, try not to suck my tongue like a fish or something like that.
And the other thing, William, is What are some of the biggest mistakes men make? Because I know, again, you know, I don't want to keep putting my business out, but I know a lot of guys think that women want and need to have the tongue, the I call it the salamander tongue.
Well, that's very aptly put, and that is the number one mistake men make. They go too quickly and too aggressively with the French kiss, the tongue kiss.
Right.
And they fail to realize that their partner needs to breathe and that they shouldn't put the tongue way back and trigger the gag reflex. That could be very disconcerting for any person. So that's the number one mistake guys make, and I keep telling them that, but it's very difficult to get that through because for men, the tongue and the French kiss is the most exciting kiss. Of course, for women too, but guys really, it's important to go a little slower, and there are 30 different types of romantic kisses in the art of kissing, and that's one of the reasons I wrote it, to share some of the other kisses they can try, like the liposuction, where you kiss the upper lip and the lower lip, or the sliding kiss, where you slide around from the mouth to the ears and itsy-bitsy little kisses down the neck as you go. And then there's the biting kiss, where you gently, very gently, you know, bite your partner's earlobe, for example, or their lower lip. There's so many different variations that you don't have to just resort to the tongue kiss or the French kiss.
Right, and when he says bite people, he's not talking about a Mike Tyson bite on the ear.
Of course not.
I mean,
you can get into trouble with that.
We're not trying to draw blood here.
That's right, Mike Tyson. He is not the person to be your inspiration when you get into this.
Yeah. So what is the biggest mistake women make? I mean, I'm a girl. What are we doing wrong?
Well, according to men, the number one mistake is failing to open the mouth at a wide enough angle to allow them to do the French kisses. So you could see from their perspective, they're not really thinking creatively. They're just on a one-track idea. But I guess that women, the thing is you want to please your partner. But another mistake women make is they fail to please themselves. They don't look at that. They don't consider themselves, their own personal feelings enough, because women are more other directed in our society. And I keep telling women that they should also do things that they will enjoy. You don't have to just open your mouth more to please the guy and let him do those French kisses. You could try your own style. Use your own different techniques and think of your own pleasure a little more.
So how do you politely tell a person, you know, my situation with the you know, sucking my tongue out of my mouth and or, you know, the slobbering, the overly
yeah,
you know,
right.
The overly moist, I'll say that, overly moist mouth. How do you tell someone, you know, in a nice way, this is bad.
we need to talk.
Yeah.
There are techniques that you can use, and it is, like I said, it's tricky, but one of the ways you can do it is you wait until you're not in a romantic situation. When you're just pleasantly having a conversation, you could mention it, and that will go over much better. And the second thing you can try is when you're watching a movie and you see a kiss style that you like, you can open the conversation at this point and say, ah, the way that actor is kissing is excellent, and I wish that I got, you know, more kisses like you know, this actor is doing on the screen right now. And that could allow you to open the door to talking about other things that you like in kissing as well.
Yeah. 'Cause
in a non-confrontational situation.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess you shouldn't, you know, right in the middle of the kiss, you go, whoa, wait, what are you trying to catch a fly on my face? Put the tongue back in your mouth. Yeah,
You have to wait. You definitely have to wait, because people will be invested in their own excellence, and they're always thinking, yeah, I am such an excellent kisser, and the girl is going to love this tongue. Oh, she's going to love it. And you don't want to, you know, at that moment, you know, break the ice and say to them, this is wrong, because it'll be an insult. It will really be an insult, and it will be counterproductive. It won't work for you.
Okay, so we got the kissing part, but what about, or how do you come and you tell a person, they kiss great, but what if there's an introduction to a certain smell, like bad breath?
Yes, that can be a problem. And one of the things that you could encourage your partner to do is to brush their teeth. And you could say you could buy them a new tooth paste and a new toothbrush, and you could even get some minty rinse for them. And you could say, look, well, let's have a really nice kissing session, but first let's prepare ourselves. And that's one way to do it,
Okay.
to actually buy the apparatuses for them, so to speak. But another thing is to tell your partner to chew gum or to eat an apple, because that can often freshen the breath before you kiss as well.
Oh, okay. And what is the kiss that most of your listeners probably haven't even tried or never even heard of?
Well, the vacuum kiss.
Oh.
Most people have not tried the vacuum kiss. 80% of people have not even experienced it from their partner, and that is, it entails gently inhaling during a kiss so that the air comes out of your partner's mouth and into you, and then you can exhale so that the air goes back, and that would
Ooh.
be known as a reverse vacuum. And it's very intimate because the molecules of your breath are merging into your partner, and it's really also a very curious feeling. So the vacuum kiss you can use to surprise your partner.
Wow, I've never even heard of that.
Yes, 80, like I said, 80% of people have never even experienced the vacuum kiss. And you can see a great example in the film Coneheads, where the guy who's the conehead does the vacuum kiss in a very, very powerful way to their partner.
So, what is your biggest audience when you talk about your book, The Art of Kissing? Who is your biggest audience? Who wants to hear about this mostly? Is it women? Is it men? Is it old women, young women,
There's no
college age
question.
students?
It's women and their teenagers. When we
What?
do, yeah, when we do the show at colleges, it's 3/4 of the audience is typically the girls. Guys are interested in it too, and they often enjoy it, but they have usually to be dragged into the audience by their girlfriends, and then they really enjoy it because guys like to kiss too, and people in their 20s and their teens. It's mainly people who have a good amount of hormones, who feel the vitality of life. And
Right.
if anybody doesn't experience that, I encourage them to try to bring back that vitality in some way, because that's what life is all about.
Yeah. And it's so funny, William, is that if you ever think about, and I'm sure a lot of our audience people have thought this too, that when you first meet a guy, you liking him a lot, and you feeling all that heat or whatever, and that first kiss is amazing, and then you get into a relationship where you're there for a while and years, and all of a sudden that first kiss is never remembered again, or you never experience it again. How can you
Well,
bring that back?
Juanita, the sad truth is, and that you cannot,
Oh,
and
wow.
you should not worry about that, because once you have those sparks and the relationship starts, things will diminish as far as the romantic excitement. That's only natural, and but that's one of the greatest questions, biggest questions, and people come to me for lessons, couples, and they want to rekindle that. You just really can't. And there's a great book called The Dirty Six Dozen, which explains why. He explains that the relationship at the start is programmed. Our minds are programmed to be more excited at the outset of any new relationship. And then things will kind of normalize, but it doesn't mean that the relationship is in any way less satisfactory or bad. It doesn't mean that. And you can have a stable relationship as you go on with regular type of kisses that don't cause those sparks that you get right at the outset of a relationship. But that's also why people are often tempted into affairs or cheating, because the new person is very often a more exciting prospect. So,
yeah.
So people have to watch out, and they have to be cautious about that temptation.
Yeah, because I noticed that a lot of times in the beginning you're you can't get enough, you're almost kind of kissing off their face, and then after a while you're just like a peck. Oh, okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.
See ya. You're barely touching lips.
It's amazing how the most exciting person that you would die to kiss them and you're dreaming about them all the time.
Yeah.
How they can become less exciting once you connected for a few months. It's just that's the way things work, unfortunately.
And you thought when you first kissed him that it was amazing, and then after a while you go, oh God, here he comes. Here she comes. Oh God, here she comes. Let me kiss her so she won't think anything. And another question I want to ask is there a best way to French kiss? Is there a way that people, what is the best way to French? And why do we call it French?
Well, to answer your last question first, the term came into the language in 1923 when American soldiers were in France, and they were making jokes about the French, and they were trying to suggest the French were very, sexual, so they called it a French kiss.
Oh.
And the best way to do a French kiss, of course, it varies because there's so many different things that can be done with the tongue. But the number one thing to remember is that the tongue should not go way, way back to the back of the tongue, which can make a person gag. And also, the thing is, you want to remember that the tongue has its most sensitive part at the tip, and it can actually taste the interior of your partner's mouth. There are taste sensations on the lips themselves. So you flicker the tip of the tongue on your partner's tip of their tongue, and you both will get the greatest excitement. And then, of course, I spend half of my book talking about the French kiss. You could rotate, that is, go around and around, and then play chase back and forth. You could lead sometimes and let your partner take the lead other times. And then so you can, I don't know. There's just so many different things that it's hard to say that there's just one way to do a French kiss. It's just amazing. There's so many variations on it that each person and each couple will discover what works best for them each time. But, of course, the best thing I could say is use the tip of your tongue preferentially as opposed to the back of the tongue, and you'll be in good shape.
And The Art of Kissing, where can our listeners find this wonderful book?
Oh, you could find it anywhere, especially on Amazon, or,
okay.
You could find it any place books are sold.
Now, do you have a DVD with this?
I discontinued the DVD a few years ago,
okay.
But it's available for free on YouTube, so people can watch the whole thing for free.
Really?
Yeah, because pirates put it on. They keep putting it on, so
yes.
I just got tired of keep taking it off. So it's just on there somewhere. You just put in William Kane, The Art of Kissing, and you can watch the whole thing, including the outtakes, the spanking kiss, the Trobriand Islands kiss. You'll see the vacuum kiss and everything right on
kiss.
It.
Spanking kiss? What's the spanking kiss?
You hug your partner close. You get your hips close. And when your lips touch, you give your partner a playful little spank, and you'll feel the shock waves ripple through their body, through their hips into yours, and it just kind of adds a certain magic for those who like those kind of frisky encounters.
Okay, before I let you go, because I have a minute left now, I gotta go there with the spanking kiss. A lot of people will spank. He said spank. He didn't say hit or abuse. He said spank, a little love tap.
Of course. You want to be
gentle. Supposed
to
be enjoyable.
That's exactly right. And whatever you give, you will get. So be prepared for that.
Spank me back, spank me here, and I'll spank you back.
That's it.
William Kane, The Art of Kissing, thank you so much for being on The Beauty Files. You have been a joy, and I will be checking out your DVD as well. And I I'm getting the book, but I I'm amazed at all the different kisses. I am so amazed. I didn't realize, you just automatically think it's just one way, and you have actually dispel that truth and just told everyone that there how many different styles of kissing?
Well, in that book, there are 30 different types of romantic kisses. And
wow.
You can try them all and enjoy them all, and it's all PG-rated stuff, and it's good stuff. So thank you for talking to me about it. It's been fun.
That's some good stuff. Good stuff to hear. William King, The Art of Kissing. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be talking with Keisha Faison with Pure Elegant Soap, and learn the natural is put back into her soap. So we're going to talk to her. Stick with us. Give us 30 seconds. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Me and Doug, we were laughing on the break, talking about how we thought we knew how to kiss, and apparently we need a little practice. So I guess I'll be taking some notes and practicing and learning how to kiss, because obviously I don't know how to kiss. Welcome back, Keisha Faison with Pure Elegant Oils. She is passionate about providing only natural ingredients and products in her beauty products, and she specializes in offering uncut grade 8 oils and has over 1,000 fragrances. And every time I get an email from Keisha, my mouth water, which is crazy because you're thinking it's a beauty product, but the way she describes her product and the way it looks, and you know, you can almost feel and smell it. Welcome, Keisha, to the Beauty Files.
Thank you.
You had a product that was on recently. It was an oatmeal soap. But the way you describe your products and the way it comes across the emails, you can almost reach and smell it. How did you get started in doing this?
Well, I got started, first of all, I love beauty products.
Yeah.
So that helped me. And, you know, so I just tried doing it myself, and I would pick my own ingredients. You know, a lot of times when you go to the stores, certain items will have things that you like, but you would think, okay, what if I added this to it? You know, so that kind of helped me out some. I wanted to make things different.
Oh, okay. So take us to the process of you know, how do you come up with the ingredients combination? How do you come up with the name? You know, and what makes it natural?
Mm-hmm. How it's natural is by using all natural products. I use olive oil, coconut oil. Sometimes in the soaps I'll use lard, castor oil. When it's cinnamon oatmeal soap, it's actual ground oatmeal. It's actual cinnamon. I'll put shea butter in it. So it's all natural products. That's where the natural comes from. And there's essential oils, which
okay.
I'll add some depending on what product I'm making.
Right. And how do you come up with the combination? Like, you know, how do you know that lavender will you know, because a lot of people know and a lot of people don't know that lavender is something that helps you sleep or is a soother. You know, how do you know that? And how do you know that, you know, oatmeal is good for moisturizing as well as exfoliation?
Well, a lot of research. I do a lot of reading on the essential oils and the benefit that they have to you, whether you're burning them or using them, you know, in your tub or washing with them. I also try it myself.
Okay.
So when I do blend the oils together, I'll try it myself, and if I like it, then I will put it out.
Now, you said something about burning, and I didn't realize that, but, yeah, I guess you can't. There are good and bad ways to burn oil. How do you, when you sell it, do you sell it with some type of instrument or container or whatever, or you teach us how to burn it, you know, the different essential oils?
No, I do not add anything when someone buys it, but that is a good idea.
Yeah.
I should give instructions.
Because I love the smell. I love smells, and I think, and I don't know if this is good, if this is the same for you, but whenever I smell certain things that have happened, like I wore it at a certain event or a certain time in my life, if I smell it again, it takes me back to that time.
Yes, it does.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I guess smells are so important because it really can change the way you feel
mm-hmm.
or change your mood. If you're feeling
mm-hmm.
depressed or you're feeling, you know, sad or whatever, you can put a burning oil and it can instantly boost you up.
Yes, yes, it can. And there's healing, you know, back in the day, there's healing properties also.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Oil. Yeah, so... there's frankincense. They use that for meditation. They, you know, they would use it for wounds. They would burn it in during prayer. You know, so it had all different oils have their own medicinal part to them also.
Right. Because, you know, I'm reading something that, you know, you sent to me
mm-hmm.
as part of the email, and it's, let me just pull up, because I'm this is a live show, so oatmeal cinnamon spice soap. It sounds like cookies, but the way you write it, she goes, fresh baked oatmeal cookies, anyone? Okay. So you don't have cookies, and then she has the soap wrapped up in sort of like a gauzy type of material, and she explains what the soap will do. It'll, you know, give you a nice rich lather. It has the cinnamon in the cloves, and just the smell of that, it will
mm-hmm.
remind me of Grandma's kitchen.
Exactly.
It would just remind me of Grandma's kitchen, and I'm just looking mm-hmm. for some milk.
Well, it smells like that. It smells that good.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's
yes.
a great idea for Valentine's Day, wouldn't you say? And not just for, you know, men buying it for women, but women should buy this for men.
Yes, they should. Because lavender is kind of a masculine scent also. A lot of men buy our lavender products.
And you know what else I love? I love the smell of bergamot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is very, very good.
But now, what essential oils would you suggest or would you put if someone is feeling a little lethargic or they're feeling like they're kind of tired and they just kind of want to wake up? What do you suggest that they buy? And then I want you to later tell us about some of the products that you have to offer.
Okay. I would say anything citrus. anything citrus would help you, the citrus would help you liven up.
Okay.
The citrus smell actually helps
right.
you liven up. So anything, you could do lemon, you could do orange, anything like that would be best.
Okay. And that's amazing that you say that, because I am very partial to citrus scents. Like
okay.
right now I have burning in my little ring, my little mm-hmm. Light bulb ring. I have grapefruit and orange mixed together.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I love the smell of citrus, and I kept wondering why I love it so much. But you kind of tell me, because it always puts me in a better mood.
Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah.
Now, you have a whole lot of products, so I want you to give us a sample of what you can offer, or what some of the stuff that we can buy or purchase for, mm-hmm. like, Valentine's Day or just in general. But I'm thinking Valentine's Day, people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
get Keisha's, you know, we're going to give you Keisha's email and her website and everything. I'm expecting soap for Valentine's Day or Keisha's products. What do you have to offer? I see a eucalyptus sugar scrub.
Yes.
Oh,
and I have the Pretty in Pink whipped shea butter. I did that specifically for Valentine's, since it's, you know, red or pink.
Right.
And
what
also,
is in that?
That would be sweet almond, the sweet almond scent, and just a pigment to make it pink.
Okay.
But it has the shea butter, cocoa butter, sweet almond oil, and a couple little secret oils that I put in.
Okay, okay. And what does the shea butter do? Because a lot of people don't realize how fabulous shea butter is.
It is very moisturizing. It's very good in the wintertime for chapped, dry skin, for your feet, knees. But I like to use it for my whole body since it's whipped. The whipped makes it a whole lot easier to put on.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're right, because shea butter can be a little hard sometimes. So that's actually that is a great idea to have it whipped,
mm-hmm.
because it goes on better. And should you put on shea butter or any type of moisturizer, you know, when you get out of the bathtub, should your body still be damp, or should you dry off? And, you know, because I know a lot of people have different opinions.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends. It depends what you would like to do, because if sometimes I might do mine while I'm damp,
mm-hmm.
and then dry off, because sometimes the moisture kind of absorbs a little bit more when your body is already wet.
Okay.
And still warm from the shower or the tub. But
okay.
that's why I use the body scrubs while I'm in the shower or in the tub. Because I
now
feel when I do that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm finished. I'm sorry.
Okay. When I use that, I feel a whole lot more moisturized when I use the body scrubs and then use the shea butter.
So what type of body scrubs do you have, and what are in your scrubs? I mean, you don't have to give us all your secrets,
mm-hmm.
but what makes it the scrub part?
It is either salt or sugar scrub.
Okay.
Yes. We use pink Himalayan salt, just regular organic salt. Let me see. When I use my lavender, I'll use actual lavender buds in it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Also, the same thing with the oatmeal. If it consists of oatmeal, it will have actual oatmeal.
Now, you're able to eat, because, you know, before I finish, I got some pink Himalayan salt, but I use it to put on food. I mean, I can still do
it. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, because I am seasoning my salad with a little Himalayan salt. I just want to make sure I can use it.
But that's the natural part. You know, you kind of wonder how women took care of themselves before we had all these nice products. They used the same things that they used to eat.
And also, you know, for those people who are listening to this and have essential oils and think that you can do this yourself, let me advise you. Keisha has years of experience and training on what goes with what. a lot of people will think that they can mix essential oils and get something that's nice, and then you wonder why you're breaking out, or you have burns, or you're sensitive, or whatever, because you don't know how to mix or combine the essential oils together. And how do I know that? Because it happened to me. And I didn't know anything about carrier oil. I'm like, carrier oil? What, I'm carrying it? I mean, who knows? Carrier oil, yeah, I'm carrying it in my hand. But I realized what carrier oil was when I tried to use some essential oil as a little perfume, and it burned my neck.
Right.
Because I didn't have a carrier oil with it. It's like, that was a hot mess. So, yeah. So you have to really be careful about how you blend and combine things, especially when you're using pure essential oils.
Yes, you do. You really do. That's why you can mix them with olive oils or, you know, something to help it go on.
Right. Something to help it go. And does that... And,
to
and
help it go on,
like,
without, you know, protect you, kind of, you know.
Right. That's what it is. It's mostly as a protection. Okay, and then now you have things you say you can burn, because I like burning scents too.
Mm-hmm. Like frankincense it's a rock, but it is a natural product that is burnt. Frankincense is very good. Also, all of the oils can be burnt. All essential oils can be burnt in a warmer. Not burnt, warmed. I should change that.
Okay.
Yeah, they can be warmed in a warmer with a tea light candle or an electric warmer.
Okay. And you just pour it in the warmer, and it just kind of the scent just kind of wafts through the house or the room or whatever.
You can put a little teeny bit of water in it and put a couple drops. And that's all you'll need is a couple drops.
Because
they're very concentrated.
Wow. And so we can get all these oils, and do we get the carrier oils from you, or everything is already mixed?
That if you buy the oil, it will already be mixed. The carrier oil will already be in it for you.
Okay.
Unless you buy the actual essential oil. The actual essential oil is going to be that oil. If you get lavender, it's going to be lavender. It's not going to have a carrier in it.
Okay.
But if you get the lavender scent oil, then it would just be, it would be the carrier oil and the lavender scent.
Oh, okay. And so how do one, if one wants to order and get products, and then how long does it take to get to you? Because you're local. You're in Maryland.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I can get my order. I can drop past your house. But no.
Right, exactly.
Well,
he's
in Maryland.
It takes about 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
For each order, I make it right then. So if you order shea butter, I whip it then. I don't keep whipped shea butter in stock.
Oh.
I go ahead and whip it when the order is made so that it is fresh.
That is a great idea. Yeah, and that makes it even more fresh. And then what's the shelf life?
The shelf life is, I would say, about 6 months.
Okay.
Because I do have preservative in it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So does that include the soaps too, or is the soaps made like fresh like
the
that?
Soap well, shelf life is until you use it up.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know.
Yes.
And what other kind of soaps do you have besides the oatmeal? That one I'm sold on. I'm definitely want to get that. But what other soaps do you have?
Well, soaps, I haven't put all my soaps on the website yet, but soaps, I have a lavender, I have coconut, I have the oatmeal cinnamon, and there's one more, and then there's a chocolate.
Oh.
And that's chocolate coconut, the same as my chocolate coconut sugar scrub. I try to make everything kind of the same.
Do you have a chocolate, coconut, whipped body?
Body butter?
Yeah.
I do have that now.
Oh,
I put that up. I call it sexual chocolate.
Well, there you go. Hello. Hello, Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing. That's a, that would be, yeah, because that's like, you know, instead of you buying chocolate and putting in, you know, the fattening, you just put, make yourself into a nice big chocolate mound and learn the art of kissing, and then you'll be fabulous on Valentine's Day. Keisha, give our audience some information on how they can reach you and how they can order some products.
Okay. We can be reached at 1-800-650-0546. Our website is www.pureelegantoils.com. My email address is, oh goodness, I'm drawing a blank, elegantoils, the number 4, the letter U, at gmail.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have a wonderful, this should have been a Valentine's Day show. You have a wonderful choice of stuff you can get for your significant other. Keisha, thank you so much for being on The Files. Coming up next, we have Dr. Benabio. He is going to show you guys how you should be taking care of your skin and what products you should be using instead of our products. Get your own products. Get your own facial stuff, get your own moisturizers, and he's going to tell you why you need to get your own stuff instead of keep borrowing our stuff. So on the other side, Dr. Benabio with the Derm Blog. Stay with us. Give us about 60 seconds. Welcome back. I really think this should have been a Valentine's Day show because I'm feeling that chocolate soap and scrub and body butter. Oh my God, I have got to get that. I love smelling like candy. Well, I like eating candy too. Welcome back to The Files. We have Dr. Jeffrey Benabio. He is a physician director and of healthcare transformation at Kaiser Permanente, and he's also the author of the Derm Blog. And you know, the reason why I wanted to have Dr. Benabio on, you know, for several reasons, but one is because men need to really start taking care of their skin, and they need to incorporate some type of skin regimen instead of always stealing ours and using our wrinkle cream or our facial gel or lotion. So without further ado, Dr. Benabio, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Now, Doctor,
Sounds like a delicious show.
Oh, my, the art of kissing, Doctor. And in pure so elegant soaps, it's just been a fabulous show. And then now I have you, so it's just the best show.
I'm loving it. I'm so flattered.
Well,
so what is so neat to talk about, particularly for men, is that as you alluded to, men really have not had products that they could choose that's designed specifically for them.
Exactly.
And this changes everything because, first of all, women across the world can rejoice that now your guy's not going to be using your products anymore. Second of all, guys actually realize that they can do things specifically to take better care of their skin. And it doesn't require having to go to a department store, but rather just making better choices about the products that they use every day.
So now give us a sample of example of what our guys should be doing to their skin.
Well, particularly this time of year, you know, it's cold across most of the country and dry here in California. Dryness is the most important thing for them to think about. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that most soaps actually strip the natural oils off your skin. So for guys, it's very important to choose personal washes that actually are moisturizing. That's why Dove Men Plus Care, which is actually a relatively new line from Dove, has washes that have Dove's moisturization that's built right into it. So what's so neat about this is that a guy can actually use a personal wash, like say the Aqua Impact, and that wash actually has moisturization that when he gets out of the shower is left on his skin. So this is key for a number of reasons, not least of which because guys are terrible about putting lotions and creams and moisturizers on. So guys that are using the wrong products and don't put any moisturizer and lotion on are suffering, particularly this time of year when it's so dry.
Yeah, and you know, I'm so glad that the Dove hat has come out with this line of products for men. But what about shaving? Because I know a lot of guys are having an issue with, you know, the razor versus what do they call them, the electric clippers. Some men don't use a razor because they say, and I know especially a lot of black men, they don't use razors because it promotes razor bumps.
That is a very common problem. And the reason why that happens is because they're shaving too close.
Okay.
So the problem tends to be not necessarily whether you use an electric or a blade, but rather that a lot of the new blades, you know, like these new razors, they get like 7 blades on it, that sort of thing. It actually shaves the hair too close to the skin. And so if you have thick hair, as many African Americans do, many people of color, and then also even Mediterranean, other cultures that have darker, thicker hair, I actually happen to have that myself, get into trouble because when it's shaved too close, the hair grows back in, and so you get razor bumps. It's something that we call in dermatology pseudofolliculitis, and they can be very uncomfortable and also very unsightly. You get these red bumps all over.
Right.
So the key is you don't have to use an electric, although for some men that's actually a good solution. But rather to be sure that if you're using a blade that's got too many blades on it, to go to something that's a little simpler, maybe just 2 blades. Make sure that that is a disposable or a razor that you're changing over very quickly. So that is, you should not use it for any more than a week, because longer than that and the blade is actually dull and causes some of the same problems. And the final part of this that's so important is the actual routine that guys get into. So many guys shave before they get in the shower, and that's the wrong way to do it. It's much better to shave after the shower because your skin is moisturized. The hairs are soft and warm, and that's the best way to actually cut the hair so that you cut the hair cleanly without getting a lot of pulls and those ingrown hairs.
So should a guy like prep or put some like a shave oil or something, or just go straight to like just soap and water or just water?
So a couple things. One is to wash your face first. So you're going to do that most likely in the shower.
Okay.
And then secondly, and this is again where having products specifically designed for men who care about their skin, the Dove Men Plus Care has got some great products for shaving. So for example, there's a shave gel that they have that is moisturizing. So when you get out of the shower and the hair is soft and been washed, you apply your shave gel and you let that sit for about 2 to 3 minutes. That's actually very important because that really helps to maximize the softness in the hair and to be sure that you've got a barrier of protection between your skin and the blade, which is a little bit what you're alluding to, whether or not to use an oil or not. So the idea is that you want to be sure that the blade glides across the skin. And then very gently, not pulling hard or pushing hard, but rather very gently in the direction that the hairs are growing, you shave.
Oh.
And if you have not actually cut close enough, if you run your hand over it and you feel like it's still too rough, or the woman who's standing next to you in the bathroom runs her hand over it and she says, not smooth enough, then what you need to do is actually go back and shave again a second time. So you apply the shave gel again and shave again. So that is a much better way to do it than to actually push down hard or stretch the skin really tight in shaves, because when you do that, you get into that same problem that you were talking about earlier. You actually change the way that the hair follicle is oriented, so you end up cutting the hair too short, so that even though it might seem like it's great right then and there, 12 hours or 24 hours later, that hair is actually growing in, and that's where a lot of guys get into trouble.
So are you finding men now are becoming more aware or concerned or even, you know, entertaining the idea of, I need to get my skin right, I need to look better, you know, I want to look younger, or I just want to look healthy?
I think you're exactly right, that in part because now there are products that are designed just for men, so men are realizing, hey, maybe I should wake up and pay attention here. And I think that guys all along, you know, wanted to do the right thing. But, you know, for example, with shaving, you know, sometimes we've lost the art, so that dads don't really teach their kids the right way to shave anymore. And I think that's an important thing. So realizing that there is a best way to do things, that you can choose products that are healthy for your skin, that also make you look good, that make you smell good, is the right way to go without feeling like, you know, you're putting on too much, or that you are, you know, using cosmetic products, which is not necessary. It doesn't, you don't have to quite go to that level in order to really just be taking good care of yourself and to look good.
And, you know, that's so important you say that, doctor, because, you know, the one thing that I will just have to say, the worst thing a man can do is to have a rough skin, or just look dry, or just,
yeah,
you know, just look unkempt.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just, it's not attractive.
No, it's not at all. So it that fits with both, you know, how the skin feels and also how it looks. So
right.
Guys that have, like, a lot of razor burn, or were you talking about the ingrown hair, so they got razor bumps, it's not very attractive. Particularly in people of color, it can also darken areas of their skin where you get excess inflammation. So you get dark spots and light spots, and it's noticeable, shows up. So you first of all, don't feel good about the way your skin feels. And then also, you know, people are saying, gee, she just doesn't look right, doesn't look all put together, doesn't look as good as he could. So realizing that just by, you know, doing a little bit of homework, researching
right.
what the best way is to do things, and then taking the time to actually pick out the right products, that makes all the difference in the world.
We have a couple of emails. One email is saying, where can they purchase the Dove Men products?
So first of all, they can go to DoveMenCare.com
okay.
and get a lot of the information about the products there. And then they are widely available. So you could get it in most retail stores, so grocery stores, drug stores. So this is a product line that's available pretty much anywhere.
Oh, and the second question, and I guess it's related. A guy writes, how can you get rid of skin tags?
Yeah, skin tags are tough. So they're
yeah,
very common.
Yeah, I guess he's thinking with the you can't do it with moisturizer or whatever. I mean, you have to.
No, right. So that's the thing. So here's a couple things about that. So for men in particular, we tend to get it around the neck and sometimes underneath the arms.
Okay.
And the good news is that they're harmless, but the bad news is that they're unsightly, and they can also be uncomfortable.
Right.
So there are some products that are sold over-the-counter now that are meant to, you know, freeze away warts and skin tags and such. I can't say if they actually work very well or not. I've had some people say they tried it, and it doesn't do a good job of getting rid of those spots.
Oh.
On the other hand, you can see either your primary care doctor or a dermatologist or a plastic surgeon and have them done professionally. And that's definitely the way that I'd recommend guys.
And
to
when
do,
you say
if you have a lot of them.
When you say professionally, what is the process?
With either very nice sharp pair of scissors where you actually literally
oh,
just
okay, okay.
Off it. Or actually we freeze them. You use a little liquid nitrogen and you freeze it so that way it actually destroys the little growth and it falls off.
Where do they come from? Why are they around? You know, I got to ask that question too. Why are they around?
Yeah, so a couple things. One is that they tend to be in places where skin rubs on skin. So for guys that you just seem to get them underneath the arms, we see that awful lot, sometimes between
right.
your legs. They can sometimes be a marker of a high blood sugar. That is to say, guys who are not taking very good care of themselves, who are overweight and start to get excess insulin, that insulin seems to actually trigger growths of things like skin tags. So if you're noticing in the mirror that you're overweight and you're starting to get a lot of these skin tags, it could be more than just a cosmetic issue. It could actually be a health issue that
wow.
you might need to get some blood sugar checked to be sure that you're not heading toward diabetes.
Wow. And, you know, no one has ever said that, doctor, that could be related to, blood sugar.
Blood sugar. It can. It certainly can. There's actually a condition called acanthosis nigricans, where you get, like, this thick, velvety thickening of the skin, particularly around the neck and under the arms. And it's often seen with the very same type of skin tags. So it's yet another reason, you know, if you're looking at yourself in 2014 and not happy with the way you look and not happy with how you're taking care of yourself, you know, those skin tags are another reminder in the mirror every day that you need to do something, because if you don't, you know, the problem's only going to get worse as time goes on.
So what can we take away from this conversation, Doctor, as far as skincare for men? What are the five things that men should have in their medicine cabinet or their counter as far as making sure their skin is healthier?
So they should throw away any bar soap that they have.
Oh.
If it's just a soap, they should have something that is moisturizing. Now, I say bar, well, what I mean by that is that that it's a soap and it's not moisturizing. You can,
right,
for example, get a Dove bar that's actually a moisturizing bar. So that's the important part of it. So that's number one. Number two, they ought to have a good shave cream, particularly guys that use do a wet shave with a blade. And I actually think that that's important because it to me, you know, that's the ultimate way that you really are getting the best shave so that you look your best is with a blade. So have a good shave gel is number two in addition to the moisturize and wash.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, antiperspirant and deodorant. And so, you know, some guys think that, hey, you know, I don't really need a deodorant, and I can tell you that here in the United States, that's actually not true. You do need a deodorant. For most of us culturally, it's just not acceptable to just have that manly smell. You really
it's
need to have something smell. Smell. A little more like chocolate. You got it.
And four.
And by the way, I will say that, you know, one of the neat things about the Men Plus Care line is that they actually have antiperspirants and deodorants as well, and that's important because a lot of guys get irritation under their arms from using antiperspirants that are irritating. So choosing ones that have moisturization in them that are not irritating can actually, again, solve a health problem and then also make sure that the guy looks and feels his best. So what are we up to here so far?
Number four
is a sunscreen. So now this varies a little bit depending on the color of your skin. That is to say, if you have very darkly pigmented skin and it's wintertime, it's not necessary to have a sunscreen on every day. If, on the other hand, you have fair skin and you live in a place like I do in Southern California or you're out in the sun a lot, then you absolutely need to have sunscreen on every day, even in wintertime.
Oh,
and somewhere in between, there are men who have pigmented skin, but then also sometimes have dark spots from either working outside or dark spots from the razor bumps that they have. And sunscreen can really help kind of be sure that their pigment evens out so that they don't have dark blotches and light blotches in different places.
And the fifth and the best one, moisturizer.
It's a moisturizer. Absolutely. So particularly this time of year, if guys are noticing that even though they've changed their wash to something that is moisturizing, is that they might need to add something onto that. So using something that is absorbed into the skin, because a lot of guys have trouble. They've got hairy legs, that sort of thing, hairy arms, as I do, and you can't have like a thick cream that is maybe your wife or your significant others, but rather something that absorbs nicely and is one that he is likely to use is what he needs. And so, like, for example, Vaseline has got very good absorbing lotions that he can use. So those five things should be in pretty much every guy's bathroom and go a long way to being sure that he's not only looking good but also has skin that's healthy.
And Dr. Badambia, if anyone wants to contact you or find you or listen to your, I saw some stuff you have on TED TV, which was so entertaining and it was really nice. How can they find you? I know you have the Derm blog.
Yeah, you're awfully sweet. I appreciate that. So yes, they certainly can go to the dermblog.com or they can follow me on Twitter. I'm at DermDoc. So if you follow me at DermDoc and give me a shout out, I'd be happy to follow you back. And oftentimes, you know, guys have questions about grooming and things like that, I'd be more than happy to help.
You have been fabulous. Thank you so much, Dr. Badambia. You and we have lots of questions, so what I'll do is I'll just give them your Twitter and your email and they'll send you their information or their questions.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And thank you for listening to the Beauty Files with Juanita. I really appreciate it. Tune in again. We'll have some more great lifestyle guests. And we appreciate your emails, and we appreciate you being a part of the audience. You take care. Bye-bye.